Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 as we read the verses 36 to 38. As you're turning to that passage, let me just briefly give you the context. Mary and Joseph had just entered the temple in Jerusalem with the baby Jesus. And upon seeing him, an old man by the name of Simeon was told by the Lord that this baby was the promised Messiah. And so Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed him and spoke to Joseph and Mary. And while this was going on, Luke tells us, and now we read the words of our text, that there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This ends the reading of the holy and inspired Word of God. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his Word to our hearts. Dear friends, one of the most joyful and exciting moments in life is seeing someone you have heard a lot about but have never actually met. I'm thinking about siblings separated at a very young age and then adopted by other families. For decades, they lived separate lives. But at long last, in some cases when they're very old, they reunite. News outlets love to capture these moments. First, you see the one sibling standing at the arrivals exit at the airport. He's anxiously waiting for their loved one to come through the door. And then you see them embrace, and they look at each other with love and delight and joy. These are special moments. Well, we read of not one, but two such special moments in our text passage. It was 40 days after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph and Mary, who were probably still living in Bethlehem, brought him to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him to the Lord and to offer sacrifices as the law of Moses required. And while they were there, a godly old man by the name of Simeon came by the Spirit to the temple. Like others in Jerusalem, Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was waiting for the promised Messiah to come. And at one point, God revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so when he saw Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus, he wasted no time, but he took him in his arms, he blessed God, he thanked him for the privilege of seeing his son with his own eyes before he died. And then a short time later, an old widow by the name of Anna came by. Like Simeon, she too had been longing for the coming of the Messiah. And also, like Simeon, she too encountered him in the temple in Jerusalem. And it's to this encounter that we turn our attention today. Our theme is Anna's encounter with the baby Jesus. And we'll consider, first of all, her spiritual preparation for this encounter, and secondly, her bold declaration about this encounter. Old Simeon had just finished speaking with Joseph and Mary. At that moment, Anna came by. Now, Luke mentions several things about her, all of which are very instructive. First of all, he mentions that her name was Anna. The name Anna is derived from another Hebrew girl's name, the name Hannah, and it means grace or favor. And as such, it was an appropriate name for her, because, like Mary and Elizabeth and Hannah before her, she was greatly favored by the Lord. Secondly, Luke tells us she was a prophetess. A prophetess is a female prophet. A prophet is someone who receives visions and revelations from God and conveys them in turn to God's people for their edification and warning and instruction. Now, there were several female prophets in the Old Testament. We can think of Miriam, the sister of Moses, or Deborah, or Huldah. But Anna is the only woman in the New Testament to be designated as a prophetess, aside from Jezebel in Revelation 2, who was a false prophetess. Now, this is remarkable, because for 400 years, the voice of prophecy had been silent since the time of Malachi the prophet. But it seems the closer the time came for the Lord Jesus to be born, God revealed himself to his people more and more. First, he revealed himself to old Simeon, but then he also revealed himself to Anna, a woman. Thirdly, Luke tells us she was the daughter of Phanuel. Phanuel is the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name Penuel, also spelled Peniel, which means face of God. There is a variation on the name Peniel, where Jacob wrestled with God. We can read about that in Genesis 32. It's possible that Anna's father is mentioned because he was a believer who was known to the readers of his gospel. But of this we cannot be certain. Matthew Henry suggests another reason. He says, this name is mentioned to put us in mind of Jacob's Phanuel, or Penuel, in Genesis 32. That now the mystery of that should be unfolded, when in Christ we should, as it were, see God's face, face to face, and our lives be preserved. Fourthly, Luke tells us she was of the tribe of Asher. Asher was the second son of Leah's handmaid Zilpah and the eighth son of Jacob. He was named Asher, which means happy, because his birth made Leah happy. Now, the fact that Luke mentions Anna's tribe is significant, because along with the other 10 northern tribes, the tribe of Asher was carried away into captivity by the Assyrians in the early part of the 8th century B.C. It appears, however, that at least some of the members of this tribe returned to the Promised Land. And if that is so, then Anna was one of their descendants. Fourthly, Luke tells us she was a widow of great age. Luke writes, she was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Now, the original Greek lends itself to two possible interpretations here. Luke could mean that she had been a widow for 84 years, or he could mean that she had reached the age of 84 years. Most likely, the second interpretation is correct. If Luke is saying that she had been a widow for 84 years, that would make her at least 105 years of age, assuming that she was married at 14, which was not uncommon for Jewish girls at that time. And so it's most likely she was 84. But the most significant thing we learn about Anna is that she was eminently godly. Luke tells us two things about her in this regard. He mentions, first of all, that she did not depart from the temple. Now, this could be taken literally to mean that she lived in the precincts of the temple, in a small apartment, possibly in one of the temple courts, but that doesn't seem very likely. The more likely meaning is that Anna spent so much time in the temple that it was like she never left it. It's like she actually lived there. Now, why did Anna almost never leave the temple? Well, it's because she loved God. Her heart panted after God, like the deer pants after the water brooks, as the psalmist says. She could easily testify with the psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 4, who declared, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And in Psalm 84, verse 10, we read these words, "A day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Well, those words could have been written by Anna herself. She dwelt in the temple because God was there, and to feel close to God was her greatest joy and delight. Secondly, Luke mentions that she served God with fasting and prayers night and day. To fast means to refrain from food and drink for a period of time for a religious purpose. Fasting was common in the Old Testament. It generally took place on the Day of Atonement, and when the people of Israel were in great need. At such times, a fast was proclaimed as a sign of humiliation and repentance before God. Now, the New Testament nowhere requires believers to fast. And yet, some, like Anna, did. Not in order to merit anything by it, but in order to cultivate closer communion with God. She also prayed. Prayer is closely connected to fasting. The purpose of fasting is to devote oneself to prayer. And that's exactly what Anna did. She prayed. What is more, Luke says, she prayed night and day. Anna spent every available opportunity in prayer and fasting. So great was her love for and devotion to God. And it raises the question, what about you and me? Are you and I anything like Anna? Here was a woman who feared the Lord, who loved God so much that she prayed and fasted and did not depart from the temple. Loving God and living for God was her first and only priority in life. Let me ask you, can the same be said of you? What is your first priority in life? No, I understand we cannot all devote every hour of every day worshiping God and praying to God. Anna was an old widow, and as such, she had time to devote to the praise and the worship of God. Most of us simply do not. We have jobs, we have families to look after, we have children to care for, a household to run. Nevertheless, the question remains, what is your first priority in life? Is it seeking God, loving God, living for God, or is it something else? Is it building a business, pursuing a career, making money, climbing the social ladder? Jesus said, "Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also." So what is your treasure today? What your treasure is, what your first priority in life is, what you spend most of your time and energy pursuing reveals much about what lives in your heart and your spiritual condition before God. The 19th century Anglican bishop J.C. Ryle writes this, and I quote, "It would be well for all Christian women and men to ponder the character of Anna and learn wisdom from it. When we read of her consistency and holiness and prayerfulness and self-denial, we cannot but wish that many daughters and sons of the Christian church would strive to be like her." And so Anna eagerly anticipated her encounter with Christ. She spent most of her life in the temple, worshiping God, praying and fasting, waiting for the coming of Christ in the flesh. And lo and behold, she was not disappointed. For one day she did, and she proclaimed him to all around her. And that brings us to our second point. Anna, as usual, was in the temple. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw old Simeon holding a little baby in his arms, talking to his parents. And at once she realized that he had to be the promised Messiah. Now, how she knew that, we do not know. Perhaps she overheard Simeon speaking to Joseph and Mary. Perhaps somebody whispered this to her. Perhaps the Holy Spirit himself revealed it to her as he did to old Simeon. We don't know, nor does it matter. All we know is that somehow Anna knew that this little baby was the promised Messiah. And so, without wasting any time, she went over to the place where they were standing. At long last, after waiting and praying and fasting and coming to the temple for most of her life, Anna beheld the face of her Redeemer. She beheld the one whom God had sent to be the propitiation for the sins of all of his people, also for her sins, and she was glad. Because of him, all of her sins could be forgiven. She could have peace with God. The curse of the law could be removed, and she could enter into everlasting glory, where she might experience full and unrestricted and perfect communion with God forever and ever. It was the happiest moment of her life. We learn here that if we want to encounter the Lord Jesus, we must do at least two things. First of all, we must go to where he may be found. And where is Jesus to be found? Well, not in bars and movie theaters, not on Netflix and Instagram, not in glossy fashion magazines, not even in the temple in Jerusalem, which is no more. Rather, we are to find the Lord Jesus in his word. And that means if we want to have an encounter with Jesus, we need to read his word. And not just read it, but meditate upon it, digest it, and prayerfully apply it to our life. Are you doing that? We seem to have all kinds of time for many things except reading the Bible. We wake up in the morning and dash off to work without spending so much as 10 minutes in scripture reading and prayer, without even asking God for a blessing on our day. And at night we're so tired we just flop into bed and go to sleep. It's no wonder we feel spiritually empty and far from God. But not only should we be reading the Word, we should also be going to where the Word is being taught and preached, which is in church. It's no secret that church attendance is dropping across North America and Europe, and has been since the 1960s. Sports, shopping, vacations, trips to the cottage, doing chores around the house, all these things seem to take more priority than going to church. And that's not a healthy sign. Where there is true spiritual life and a striving to grow in grace and godliness, we will make every effort to be in church whenever there is a worship service. Why? Because it is there where the Word of God is proclaimed. This is also where we may fellowship with God's people. This is where God is pleased to meet with us in a special way. And as such, when we absent ourselves from the worship services for no legitimate reason, we're only hurting ourselves. We're depriving ourselves of a rich blessing. And so let us learn from Anna. She did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. When there was a worship service, she was there because she loved God. She loved meeting with God. She loved nothing more than to worship him. Can the same be said of you today? Secondly, we learn here that we must seek the Lord with all of our heart. Our Lord is pleased to reveal himself to those who seek him. Isn't that what Anna did? She did not depart from the temple, and she served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Why did she do that? Not to earn something from God. For as a sinner, she knew that she could not earn anything from God. She didn't do it to make herself more presentable to God, because there's nothing we can do to make ourselves more presentable to God. She didn't do it to impress the people around her. She was no Pharisee. She knew she was a sinner before God, and that all of her works were as filthy rags before the Lord. Why then did she do it? Because she knew that if she was ever going to find the Messiah, she had to seek him with all of her heart. And that's exactly what she did. Now, no doubt many thought she was a bit fanatical, maybe even a bit crazy. After all, religion is a good thing, but let's not go overboard. I can imagine people saying things like that. But Anna knew better. Anna wanted only one thing. She wanted to encounter the promised Messiah, and so she devoted herself to that end. And the Lord gave her the desire of her heart. She saw the Lord's Christ. My friend, are you doing the same? How lazy we often are when it comes to seeking the Lord. Let us learn from Anna. Let us seek him with all of our heart. And so Anna encountered the Lord Jesus. Now, what did she do next? Luke tells us she gave thanks to the Lord. Now, that stands to reason, doesn't it? Anna knew that this child was sent by God to pay the penalty for her sins, a penalty that she knew she could never, ever pay. And now, as old as she was, she could see him with her own eyes. And so she gave thanks. She gave thanks to the Lord who sent him, who allowed her to see him. And what is more, she did this publicly, so that everyone could hear. But that's not all. Not only did Anna thank God, she also spoke of him. She lived out what we read in Psalm 66, verse 16, where the psalmist says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul." Anna did this. She spoke to all those in the temple precincts about God, about his son, and what he would do for her and for all who believe on his name. And she spoke this not to unbelievers, but to believers. Luke says she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Well, who were these people? Well, they were people who, like Anna and Simeon, were burdened by their sin. They were people who knew that there was no way that they could ever pay the penalty for their sin. They were people who knew that they needed a mediator, one who was very man and perfectly righteous, but also one who was very God. And this was Jesus. He was very man. A very man. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was like us in every respect, yet without sin. And at the same time, he was perfectly righteous and divine. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And as such, he had no sin nature. He had no original sin. And so everything that he did, all of his works, his actions, his thoughts, his motives, his desires were all in perfect accord with the law of God. And this qualified him to be the mediator of his people. And these people in Jerusalem, they were looking for such a mediator. And they knew that God had promised to send such a mediator. He made this promise, first of all, to Adam and Eve, immediately after the fall into sin, when he said that one day the seed of the woman would come to bruise the head of the serpent. And later he confirmed that same promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and also later on to David. And they believed this promise. And so did the believing remnant in the nation of Israel and Judah. They believed the promise of God. They knew that God, their covenant-keeping God, always kept his promises, and he would keep this promise as well. And so they waited, and they waited, and they waited, like Simeon and like Anna. They waited. They waited earnestly, anxiously. They looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And now Anna was going around telling them that he had come. Oh, my friend, do you do the same? What do you talk about when you get together with your family and friends? What do you talk about in the fellowship hall, in church, or in the parking lot after the church service? Do you speak about Christ? Or do you talk about everything and everyone but? Someone once said that the Lord has no mute children, and for good reason, because how can anyone not speak of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the one who saved him or her from everlasting destruction? If you were on a ship and fell overboard, but was in danger of drowning, and someone, at the risk of his own life, dived into the water to rescue you, would you not want the whole world to know about him and what he did for you? Oh, how much more if he died saving you? Such must also be the case when it comes to a believer. If we have truly had an encounter with Jesus Christ, if he really is our Lord and Savior and King, then we will speak of him to others, to our friends, to our neighbors, our relatives, but especially to those who look for redemption in Jerusalem, to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We should speak of him. Are you doing that? Anna saw the baby Jesus, and it filled her with great joy. But the joy that Anna experienced that day was merely a foreshadowing of a much greater joy that she and all believers will experience when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. If his first coming in the flesh produced such joy, then his second coming will produce even greater joy. For then those who are now looking for final redemption in Jerusalem shall see him, not as a tiny, helpless baby, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords descending from heaven in a cloud with the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and they shall rejoice like they have never rejoiced before. For they shall see him just as Anna saw him, and they will fall at his feet in adoration and praise, and they will live and reign with him forever. Amen. Dear friends, it's our great joy and privilege to be able to preach to you the Word of God every Sunday on this station. If you are blessed by or have a comment on the message you've heard today, we'd very much appreciate hearing from you. May I please ask you to write us a short note if you appreciate this ministry? It's very important for us to know that people are listening so that we can be wise in terms of how to allocate the resources that the Lord has given to us. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Leman Road. Leman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. And when you write, please indicate the call letters of this station. Please note that we do not send out CDs of our radio messages. However, you can access and download all of our messages at any time from our website at www.banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. If you live in or near St. Thomas, Ontario, you're welcome to attend the services at the St. Thomas Free Reformed Church, 145 St. George Street, in St. Thomas. Worship services are held every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Leman Road, L-E-H-M-A-N, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Our webpage again is banneroftruthradio.com. Now, thank you for listening, and may the Lord be with you all.